we're getting into the triple digits over here. And today's daf is daf kuf. And we are holding in Masechet Bava Kamma, ninth parak, Hagozel Eitzim, right here on daf kuf, except unfortunately we're a bit behind. We're holding on Tzadik Tet Amud Beit. And we got up to, I believe, Omar Rabba Bar Bar Chana Omar Yochanan, which is like three lines down from the middle of the page. Omar Rabba Bar Bar Chana Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Tabach Uman Shekilkel. Now, we've been in the middle of the discussion of the chiyuv of an individual who is considered to be a professional or an expert at a particular job. And we got into the issues of his doing a poor job or of his not following the instructions of the Baal HaBayit. And we got into some very complex issues as to whether he owns part of the work that he does, what type of shinu would be kena if he did it on purpose to make him considered to be a gazlan, the question of whether he's kena with each shavah pruta or whether the schirut is mishtalemet only v'sof. We, agav, went into issues about kiddushin, as to whether it would be considered to be a milva, whether mekadesh b'milva is considered to be a kiddushin or not. Yesterday we even got into the issue of hosif nofech mishalo, whether daita is a milva or daita is a pruta. But getting back now to the fundamental issues today, the question would be the degree, and we began speaking about this yesterday, the degree at which a person is responsible for what could have been avoidable. Now, we had the psak of Shmuel, and Shmuel, again, insisted yesterday that he was only talking about Alibad Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is very makbid on the level of responsibility, which is not here. And he held that even if you slip and fall, if somebody slips on you, or you don't pick up the pieces, and the gamo falls, and so on, you'd be chayav, that's called nitka poshea. Based on that psak, Shmuel also paskened that in a case where somebody makes an unavoidable mistake, unavoidable mistake, he's considered to be a poshea, and he would be chayav not only because he was paid for the job, which others would also be made, and at that point it becomes the equivalent of a Shomer Sachar. Shomer Sachar would be chayev in certain levels of things that otherwise you might call an one, such as a gneva. Again, this is the various Rishonim's approach to this sugya, is that when we're talking about ones, we mean an ones similar to gneva, which is why if you pay him, he would suddenly become chayev, even if you don't hold it normally nitko poshea. Shmuel goes out of his way to make it clear, I'm saying, that it's not just that he's a mazik because he's a shomer who didn't do his job. He's a straight-out poshea, a libid Rebbe Meir, and therefore he would be chayev, whether he's paid or not paid. Now, if he were a idiot and he had no right to really start practicing on my behema, then fine, then everybody may be moda. He's chayev, he should never have started on the job in the first place. Now, today, we go in the other direction, because I understand that if he doesn't know what he's doing, then clearly his poshe shouldn't have started. I understand that if he is an expert, he could have done better. That would be dependent on the machlokas, Rabbi Meir and the Chachomi, about nitka poshea. How about if he is a supreme expert? In which case, the likelihood of such a thing happening, unless it was literally out of his hand, maybe he had some type of seizure or some strange thing happened, we'll talk about cases later. What would be the halacha over there? So today the Gemara addresses this with Rabba Bar Bar Chana's quote, Omar Rabba Bar Chana, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. When we're saying that you are chayev as a tabach oman shekilkel is chayev afilo uman ketabachei tzipori. Even if he is from the world's greatest experts, we don't consider it to be some type of strange event that was out of his control. And indeed, it's chayev. So in other words, you see here the graph. You had no right to be there, you're vadai chayev. The graph's all the way up there. And we go down in your chiyuvim as you become more of an expert. But as you become an absolute expert, right? So now the shadows will be going down and going up. This is what Rabbi Yochanan say makes it an afkamina. Once you're an expert, then we're going to be nonetheless machayev you because of the avoidability. Umiyamir Rabbi Yochanan hafi. Did, however, Rabbi Yochanan possibly paskin that Uman Shekilkel is chayev? We honor Rabba Bar Bar Chana uvda have committed Rabbi Yochanan beknish to the Ma'on. Rabbi Yochanan was paskining in the Beit HaKnesset of Ma'on. People were bringing in dinim to him. And he had it. Yochanan was there and he said, Zil aite raya de mamchita la tarnegolim va'aftarcha. He told the Shaykhet, who was now being sued by someone who had owned the animal, or according to some, even if he had, the question over here is, Rabbi Yochanan told him, bring me a raya, that you are a mumcha for birds. Some learn that means that the mitzvah was that he shechted a bird. Others learn that Rabbi Yochanan was saying, even if all you could show me is a kabbalah, that you're a shechter for birds, you would also be considered to be a mumcha. Okay, that's about what someone going to be showing you. But I will pot to you. Here he's saying, on the contrary, that even the mumcha like Tabachei Tzipori would be chayim. How does that work? Ah, lo kashik, an bechinam kan besachar. We actually made a mistake. We originally thought that Rabbi Yochanan was following Rabbi Meir's sheet, the way Shmuel was. In truth, Rabbi Meir holds the only reason that you're chayev is because you were paid. Therefore, you became the equivalent of a shomer, and now you're chayev even on an element of onus, which would be the equivalent, let's say, of geneva for shomer sacher. Since you're paid, that's why he was saying over here that you would be indeed chayev even if you're a mumcha gadol k'tabachei tzipori. If, however, you did it for free, so that you're not considered to be a poshea because he's not going to leave it a Rebbe Meir, who was saying that you're chayev for nitkal poshea. Ki hodi omer Rebbe Zera, harotzeh shiyitchayev lo tabach, somebody who wants to make sure that if the sheikhet makes a mistake, he's going to have to pay you back. Best thing is, yakdim lo dinner, pay him in advance. Then there won't be any question about whether he's doing this as a favor, because I was doing it a favor, so what can I do? I'm not a mazik, it's an onus. Pay him in advance, you've been a nice guy. Then when it comes time to sue him, all of a sudden Mr. Nice Guy is the guy who gets his money back. Medve. Hamolech chitim litochon velo latatan. Somebody brings now his wheat into a grinder, and the man leaves out the latita, which is the washing off, putting it into water, letting it get softened. He just grinds them plain. V'yasa'an subim, umursan. So that he makes now these chitim, the equivalent of subim, meaning he mixes them now, because he didn't properly process them before, so he mixes them with the, now it's whole wheat, we call wheat germ that's mixed in it. Or he brings kemach lenachtom, he brings the flour to a baker, and the baker bakes the bread poorly, so pot nipulin, the pot is now crumbly, it's improperly baked. He brings a beimah letabach v'nibla, all of these cases are the same level of mumchiut. So in all of these cases, he's chayev mipnei shehu kin nosei sachar. Now look at that word. This guy would have the same dinim as a shomer sachar. But he's not a shomer sachar. In other words, he's doing it for free, and we're being mechayev of him on what for another person would be a level of onus, but his mumchiyut gives him the same level of responsibility as a shomer sachar. Mashmah, you don't have to pay him. Sorry, change that. It doesn't mean he's like a shomer sachar. It means mipnei shehu nosei sachar. He is a shomer sachar, meaning he is getting paid. And since he's getting paid, he's chayev even on the equivalent of geneva. There was a hagrama. Now a hagrama is normally, the simple word hagrama means that the sakin was in the wrong place on the neck. In other words, the area that is kosher for shechita is defined very clearly by the Gemara and Chulin. It's a little bit of a machlok. Basically, it's along the lines of the rings that go down along the trachea. So he now slipped out from between those rings. Again, big machlokas and chulin, we talk about between any of the rings, we're talking about the ring, the complete ring, which is on the top, and he went out towards the head. But the point is that he was shechted mostly in the correct place, which, according to at least one man yarmo, which is Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, it's kosher. The Rabbanan argue, and they say it's a treifa. So this was a case that came to Rav to Paskin. What he did is he said, first of all, the animal is free. Secondly, the shechet doesn't have to pay. So the guy is walking out of the Beit Din of Rav, and he meets Rav Kahan and Rav Asi, Pogabe Rav Kahan and Rav Asi, Bahu Gavra. And they say to him, Omrule, Avid Becha Rav Tarte. Woo! Rav hit you with a double whammy over there, baby. So now, what is the double whammy? My tarte. I mean, Ilema tarte legriuta. They mean a double whammy, meaning that Rav was off base over here, and he's hitting him with two contradictory psakim, or with two chumras that were overly chomor, meaning, first of all, he should have paskin that it wasn't treif at all, because he could have relied on Rabbi Yehuda. And he instead was star-faced to the animal as treif. That's the first thing he did wrong. And he paskin like the Rabbanan. And even if he would have held like the Rabbanan, I mean, he named it Rabbanan, at least he should have had the sheikhet pay you back for the damages. Tiberle chiyuva letavcha. I mean, how could they have said such a thing? Umi shori lavemar kiyai gavna. Are you allowed to go and tell somebody, you're sitting over there, you hear the psak, now the guy walks in, oh man, I wouldn't have paskin like that, that's terrible. This judge is off base. You know, minayin, I mean, it says beferish, vatanla, it says the kishiyet, say you walk out of the court, lo yomar, you can't say to the guy who lost, well, you know, anim is zakar, I mean, I actually held it, you know, you should have not lost, but what can I do? Chaverim echayvim, avomai eseh chaverai rabu alai. Al zeh nema holech rachil megaleh sot. You're not allowed to talk in that way. That's called holech rachil. Must mean that they were saying, Rav saved you twice, buddy. You got a lot to be thankful for. Don't be upset. Tartu l'mal yusa. First of all, he didn't give you a suffix yisr. Because it wasn't clear that we could paskin like Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. So, okay, it was machmer on you. He saved you from eating possible tarfut. And since it's a suffix, obviously he can't collect from the tabach. So he monacham is suffix gizela. Just think what you got now. You're so lucky. What a wonderful guy. Rafi Kar may cost you $1,000, but I mean, look, you know, at least he saved you from any kind of problems. You owe him big for that one. Itma. Amar ed dinar l'shulchan. What an interesting case, which you'll notice right up front. But so here we've got a case where somebody does not do it biyadayim. Until now, we've been talking about a guy who makes a mistake and causes damage directly. How about you walk into a bank, you ask the banker about a particular coin, and the banker says, perfectly good coin, no problem. So you accept that coin into transaction. Now you go ahead, you attempt to use the coin, it turns out the coin's no good. You come back and you want to sue the banker. Now that's like suing a lawyer. You should have known better. Okay, I mean, it's clearly not the same level of responsibility to somebody who does something biyadayim. Later on, we're going to see, later on today, we're going to see that this now begins to touch upon the dinim of garmi, where somebody causes you a direct loss. But, I mean, on the surface, it's a grumma. If somebody tells you something, you rely on him, and because of that, you lose money. I mean, bad boy, but it's a grumma bialma. He didn't do anything. But in this case, what happened is somebody's mara dinner l'shulchan. He goes into a banker, shows him a dinner, asks him whether it's okay. The guy says it's fine. V'nim tzara, he can't use the dinner. So we have two contradictory braitot. Tanichada, if he's a professional oman, he's patur. If he's a hediot, so then that's considered to be a poshea. He should never have had anything to do with the things. And he's pot.
Was he
paid for this? He's chayav, but we're going to see. If he's a hediot, he'd be chayav. V'tanya idach. Bein Oman, Bein Hedyot Chayapas. The other bride that says you're Chayav no matter what, even if you're Oman. Omrev Papa Ki Tanya Oman Patur. You know, when it says that if he's an Oman Patur, it's referring to a super Oman, like Danko or Isur. Dolot Zrikh Lemigmar Klal. Over there, there is no possible way for them to make a mistake. What do you mean there's no possible way? They made a mistake. Elabamaito, so then how did they make a mistake? If you're saying, you see, where you're talking, what's the Gemara trying to distinguish here? Where you're talking about a theoretical knowledge that needs to be coupled to an act, I understand that there's always the possibility of a breakdown. But where you're talking about something that is entirely intellectual, either you know or you don't know, which means that in this case, the mistake can't be attributed to them. So then what was the mistake? The maito. Ta'u b'sichta charata da'yi shaita nafik mitute sichta. What happened over here is that there was a new striking of the coin, which had all types. In other words, what happened was the government had canceled the old coin. It began striking now a new coin, which was not yet in the marketplace. You bring them the first example of it. And what happens over here is a very interesting halach. I mean, so then why should they? They're like hediotot, if that's the case. You would say, you should say, we don't know anything about it. So, as you know, you have a very similar case when it comes to virus checkers. In other words, you have existing viruses, and then you have patterns of viruses. So there's heuristic programs that will, this thing is behaving like a virus, and they'll mark it as a possible virus, right? The same thing is true over here, say many of the Rishonim. That the idea is that there's a general way of determining whether something is properly struck.
You can look at it, and there's all kinds of simonim for counterfeit and things like that, where if you're an expert, it doesn't matter whether you've seen this particular counterfeiting before. You can tell that it wasn't properly done. But I mean, suppose the government had inserted some type of mark that nobody knew about. Let's say it was supposed to be a little dot on the side, and to make sure that it wouldn't be counterfeited. There's no way they could know that. So basically, it was understood that when you were presenting them the coin, you were presenting them a coin which they were supposed to do best efforts in determining whether it meets general standards. It met the general standards. There was no way for them to know. That's why we were saying over there, I mean, what are you going to say the problem is? It can't be in the coupling of a brain to a muscle. But it's a direct question. So they must have been taught in a sikhta charata. In that case, we would say that they're pot. There are others, by the way, who learn very differently, but we'll take this as the pashtus of the lashon. He hit it up. The achazia dinar al rabichi. A woman comes in and asks Rabbi Chiya to tell her whether she can use a particular coin. No, he should have kept his mouth shut. I mean, he was a big bucky. But okay, you know, woman needs help. Amarla ma'alyai. So he says to her, it's a good coin. The next day she comes into his bezdin. She says, I brought it to the bank, and they said, there's not a good coin, they're not going to credit me, and I accepted this coin because of you. So Omar Leila Rav, he told his nephew was Rav, was very close with him, he told Rav, okay, Zil Chalfini, I'll give her another coin instead. Uktova Pinkasi, and write in my book of accounts, Dein Esek Bish. This was a pretty dumb This is a dumb business I got into, because I never should have said anything there. But okay, so put it down as a business loss of stupidity. Wait a second. You said Danko and Isser were potter. Danko and Isser were the name of this big company of accountants, right? Danko and Isser Limited. Yeah. Aleha mashallah. So how come Danko and Isser were potter? Mishum de lo tzrich la migmar, because you said they're absolute mumchen. I mean, Rabbi Chiya nami lav la migmar kaboy. Rabbi Chiya was also an absolute mumchen. No, it's true. I mean, Rabbi Chiya was only paying her lifni mishrat adin hudiya. He didn't really owe her the money. But, you know, once he did it for her, he took responsibility. Kidatani Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef said, look, you know, Yitro says to Moshe, strange thing, he says, vodata layam etachukim latronim, he says to them, first he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you be oimed lifnei Elohim, and you tell over people what it is that God tells you, right? And then he starts on this whole long drasha. Hizarta otam et hachukim, et hatorot, vodat alem et haderech yelchuba, et hamaaseh asher yasun, all a bunch of extra talk. What does that mean? So the Gemara darshans that each of these things refers to something that is moral, rather than something that is direct dvar Elohim, which I already addressed. You're supposed to say. So if you say, vodat alayhem means ze beit chayehem. That's very interesting. Rashi learns elsewhere, and the Gemara explains also, that beit chayehem refers to teaching them a parnasa. Make sure that everybody has got a skill or has got a degree. Don't let people sit around learning all day. Over here, Rashi says, it's very interesting, so make sure that you give them an umanut. Here Rashi says it means Talmud Torah, which is a direct contradiction. I mean, Talmud Torah, I mean, why would that not be included? But the pshat is, gentlemen, beautiful, beautiful pshat. Rashi here is explaining the word chayehem. Elsewhere, Rashi is explaining the word beit chayehem. Umanut is the home for your life. It's not your life. Your work, your career is not your life. It becomes the bayit. The bayit is the container. Right, it's the context of your life. So that which allows your Talmud Torah to survive and gives it context is your career. But what is the chayim? The chayim is the Talmud Torah. Makes that beautiful, right? Okay. Then et haderech. What is a derech? A derech. That's the dark of Avram Avinu. That's the deot, the midot of a person that refers to gmilut chasadim. Yelchu. When you say that you go somewhere, that refers to Bikur Cholim. Now, isn't Bikur, the Gemara asks in Bav Metzia, isn't that included in Gemilut Chasadim? So it explains over there that Bikur Cholim, in certain cases, where someone is a Ben Gilo, will actually cause the visitor to absorb some of the tsar and illness of that person. And nonetheless, the Torah is mechayev him to go, even though it takes Echad Mishishim of his Cholim. And then we have a separate one of Kvura, Ba, Ba is to insert into something, which refers to burial. And there it's referring to, even though that's a kibbutz chasadim, but the chiddush, says the Gemara over there, is that even if this person is a zakein, who's going now to the levaya, and it really wouldn't be lefi chvodo to go to the levaya of this lesser person, the Torah is specifically here indicating that there's an inyan to go even if it's beyond what he would normally. And then it says, et ha-ma'aseh. Now, ma'aseh refers to the din itself. But asher ya'asun tells me, I mean, what is a ma'aseh asher ya'asun? By definition, isn't ma'aseh asher ya'asun? So the Gemara is making a beautiful deal. That Yitro is saying, you can tell them the din, but that's not what they should do. They should do lefnim mishurat ha-din. So tell them the ma'aseh asher ya'asun. Let them learn to go beyond the strict requirements of the law. So therefore, Rabbi Chiya was saying, I don't really owe her the money. But after all, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu taught us in the first place. Lifni mushurat ha-din. Now, Resh Lakish achvelei dinara l'Rabbi Elazar. Resh Lakish showed a dinner to Rabbi Elazar and asked him if it's good. And Rabbi Elazar said, Ma'alyo, by the way, you'll notice the level of the expertise of the Gedolei Chachamim, because this was the norm, by the way, even until... I mean, there still are Rabbanim, but before the Rosh Yeshiva took over Paskin Halachas, and they don't know anything about reality. It used to be there was a Rav. The Rav knew everything about reality. Right? I mean, you would go into a Rav. No, it's, I mean, seriously, it's an unbelievable change. It's a very recent change. That halacha became a theoretical thing now, so supposedly a gadol b'Torah doesn't have to know anything about the fact. It used to be you had a Rav who knew everything. You wanted a business eitzah. You would only go to the Rav because he has seen so many cases and been involved in so many details that he's absolutely, I mean, the world's expert on whatever type of dinim he generally would be Isaac in. You find today also Rabbanim that are tremendous bekiyah, whether in health issues or in certain types of business issues, investments, and so on. So here, Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar said to him, look, this is a kosher dinner. You won't have any problems with it. Mal Yahu. Amalais, Reish Lakish said, okay, but just watch out. Chazin, I'm relying on you. Which apparently meant I'm going to sue you if you're wrong. So Rabbi Elazar said to him, hey, big deal, you're relying on me. Let's get to the bottom of this. So ki somachta lai ma'ilameimra. What are you trying to say? Just come out and say it. Ma'ilameimra, what are you trying to say when you say, look, I'm relying on you? That if it turns out to be a no good dinner, I'm going to have to give it you another one. You were the one who just said that it's Rabbi Meir who's doing dinner garmi. That was you. It's what we've been talking about over here. And that seems to say, well, oh yes, that's Rabbi Meir who's doing dinner garmi. And after all, my love, I mean, you seem to be saying, I mean, I don't agree, but this is Rebbe Meir. In other words, Rebbe Meir, so if you try to sue me, I'll tell you, listen here. I mean, this is only a garmi. I didn't do anything. I gave you an opinion. And you don't know the Rebbe Meir. Says Reish Lakish, I never said that. I said it's Rebbe Meir, so I didn't garmi. And of course, I agree. Now I'm warning you right now that that means if you tell me it's a good coin and it's not, I'm going to come back to you. So look, Rebbe Meir, v'sfirlan kavate, I do hold of Rebbe Meir. Okay, so this whole halacha over here, obviously, is now based on a garmi, because the guy doesn't do anything when he says an opinion. You would not think that that's considered to be a mazik, such as the case that we were talking about before of a tabach. Nonetheless, we're being mechayim. So when we say, this is going on libet Rebbe Meir, which Rebbe Meir? Hi, Rebbe Meir. Where do we see that Rebbe Meir holds of garmi? That cases where the nezek is caused directly by you, that even though you didn't move your arms or anything, it's still considered to be a hezek. It's not. Maybe it's this mission. Dana tadin, a judge, paskins, zikat, achayav, and he paskins wrong. Somebody who's chayav is bezakeh. Chiyev et azakai makes an innocent person pay. Timeyat atahar, he says something that star is tame. Tiheret atame, or he's betire something which is tame. And in all of these cases, terrible losses result. So because somebody could have taken the tummy thing, mixed it with all of his payers, caused $1 million worth of damage, and now we can't use these payroll to sell. Masha asasui. The din is paskin. V'yishalem mibeto. He has got to pay from his own account. Why has he got to pay? All he did was say something. So apparently, you see that this stam mishnah going on to the Rebbe Meir is predicated on din of the garmi. Says the Gemara, not necessarily, because Ayitmar Alamar Bilah Amarav, that all of these cases are talking about where the judge was personally involved. Who should Natsavinatan Bayad? What happened over here is that he takes it, or he gives it with his own hands. When it says he was Mizakes, someone that was Chayev, it's talking about that the guy had a mashkin. And he took the mashkin away. And now he can't collect. He gave it back to the other guy. He says, no, you're not responsible. Give me that watch. He hands the watch back to the person that originally owned it, but that actually was supposed to have left it at the pawn shop. It was a mistake. Or vice versa. He took money away and gave it to the wrong guy. Or in a case where it was Timea Tatahar, he actually said, well, you think it's tar, do you? I'm telling you it's tame. But just to make sure that you won't argue, he takes his sheretz and he's metame it. So he goes ahead and he does it on his own. Or he says, no, this stuff isn't tame, this stuff is tar. He takes it and mixes it up with all the guy's truma. Just to prove a point. This guy's an aggressive kind of judge. But in any event, he did it biadayim. So biadayim, that's not garmi anymore. Elohar, Rebbe Meir. Let's try the next one. We also have the Mishnah coming up, which we've been talking about. Stam Mishnah is Rebbe Meir, that's not. Litzboa lo adom utzivao shachor. Shachor utzivao adom. You bring it in to be dyed, and the guy dyes it the wrong color. Rebbe Meir omer, noten lo demet samro, you have to pay him. Now, I mean, what in the world does this have to do with garmi? So Tosis explains that the Gemara is very interesting havamina. The Gemara's havamina is that this is garmi because when you put the wool into the dye vat, nothing happens. You have to leave it there for a couple of days. And the color is absorbed gradually. So therefore, it's the equivalent of a grommet. I put something in a position in which it would get colored. The coloration now happens on its own. I don't do anything further. So therefore, the Gemara held that's the equivalent of a grommet. Now, the response, of course, is that's not considered to be garmi. That is the act of dying. So you did that act. You dyed it wrong. Maybe it's the following, Rabbi Meir. It's not. Hamisachech gafno. Agabe tvatosho chaviro. Somebody takes his vine, grapevine, and he now has it on a trellis over another guy's tvua. Hareze kidesh. So that causes the tvua to become aser. V'chayav. And over there he's chayav. Now over there it's really different than the case of dying. Why? Because the act of dying consists of putting something into a vat, and now the action takes place slowly, results take place slowly over time. But those are results that are directly attributable to what he did. In this case, you put a kerem over a tfua, there is no kilayim. The kilayim occurs only when they continue to grow together. But the growing has absolutely nothing to do with what he did. The things are growing on their own. As opposed to the dye stuff, where they're getting dyed only because of the fact that he put it into the dye. Therefore, the Gemara's Havamina over here is that, well, this at least is considered to be garmi only. And of course, the response is, but nonetheless, he did do an act. So over here, atanamika avid v'yadayim. Obviously, we're bringing these cases to make it clearer and clearer, levels of groma versus level of actions and levels of garmi. Eloha Rebbe Meir. The Tanya, now, even though this is not a Mishnah, it's a Braita. And therefore, how do we know it's Rebbe Meir? Tosis explains that in context, although this is not a Mishnah, there's an entire set of Braita that are talking about earlier Machlokas, in which Rebbe Meir was active in his Shita. And therefore, it's clear contextually that it's Rebbe Meir. So it says over there, Mechitzata Kerem Shenifritza. Now, the halacha is that normally, if you are a vineyard owner, you have to leave 4 amot between the edge of your vineyard and an adjoining field. The reason that we need 4 amot is because a vineyard requires that amount of space for work to be done on the vines. So in order for you to bring a tractor through and for people to be able to get in there to pick, they need that amount of space. Therefore, that amount of space became defined as the area of the vineyard. If you're within 4 amot, you figure you'll walk into the next guy's field in order to work on your kerem, then it's kilayim, because then the kerem has invaded the next guy's tfua. So what you could do is you could put up a fence. Now, if you put up a mechitzata kerem, as long as there's a fence there, it's not kilayim, because kilayim is a function of how it looks, it's a function of intent, it's not simply a question of the reality of the growth. Now, suppose he had a fence there, brings the kerem all the way up to the tfua, Now the fence falls down. So if he doesn't rebuild the fence, it's entirely passive. In other words, there's no act at all that he did. And nonetheless, Rabbi Meir says that he's chayav. Now that should be a garmi without a maisa b'yadayim. But let's just see the lashon of the braita. So we have a mechitzat hakerach shenivritza. Omer lo gedor, the Bala Tvua warns the Bala Kerem, listen, rebuild that fence before we got a problem of kelayim. You don't get the problem until it grows together, beratzon, to an extent to which it's more than one of 200. So, and he does. And then again it's nifritza. And he tells him again, gedor. Now at a point where nitya esh biben avaloka gra, the moment that he decides, forget it, I can't keep rebuilding this thing, and it, of course, it grows, the Echad Mimataim, Vologidra, Hareze Kiddash, now the Tvua becomes, with the word Kodosh, is based on the Pasuk that uses the word Tugdash, which means that it's Osir, like Cherem, and it's Chayev Bachra Yutzon. Now Chayev Bachra Yutzon means the Bala Kerem is going to have to pay for the damage to the Tvua, which is now Kaloya Kerem and Osir. So there you see, Doyen Din and Garmi, even where it's completely passive. The reason is, Tosfos says it has to be Nityaesh, not simply that he didn't rebuild, but that he gave up on rebuilding, is because, again, Kilayim, the intent is important. If you didn't have a chance to rebuild, but you are working on rebuilding and bringing in the tractors and so on, and in between it was God, Alechad Mimataim, it will not be Osir. Because the intent was not to have Kilayim there. Okay, these are all psukim that were derish and not part of our sukim. So this is finally, we're at the mission we've been quoting so many times before. You give someone a dyer, you give him fresh, nice wool, and he goes ahead and he puts it into igdicho yoreh, he overheats it. Now he ruins it. And again, we had our question, what does that mean? Did he do it at the moment that he put it in? In which case, there's no problem of Oman Koneh B'Shevach Keli, there never was a Shevach Keli. Or are we talking about that first it was okay and he left it in too long and it overheated, in which case there we would get into the Machlokas with Rabasi's Pshat before, that once if an Uman would be Koneh, then of course he would be having to take responsibility for the finished product and pay you more than just the Tzemer. So here it says, Noten lo demet samro. Tzava'o ka'ur. Suppose he does a lousy job, and now it does not look good. He gives it the right color. But, as we'll see later on, he uses the remaining dye stuff that's the bottom of the thing, and yeah, it just doesn't have that shine, that nice glint that you were expecting, and it's streaked, and so on. So now, assuming that there was shevach, ima shevach yeter al yetziyah, if it's worth more, but that worth more is more than it cost him for the dye stuff, then you, as the owner of the tzemer, only need to be noten lo at hayetziyah. You only need to give him what it costs, because this is not what you ordered. Ima yetziyah yeter al hashevach. If it's worth less even, the extra value, than what it cost him to make it, then you don't have to pay. You could just give him noten lo at hashevach. There you give him the shevach, you give him whatever is less. Because, I mean, the point over here is that he did the job poorly, and it's still your tzemer. Litzboa lo adom, utzvao shachor, if you changed, however, from the instructions, shachor utzvao adom, so Rabbi Meir omer noten lo debet samro, Rabbi Meir says you're kone with that. If you're kone, you give him back simply the demay of the tzemer, because now you were kind of b'shinui. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ima shevach yeter al yetziyah noten lo yetziyah, ima yetziyah yeter al hashevach noten lo et hashevach. Over here, Rabbi Yehuda says, we are going to give the guy a knas. It may well be that he was mishana, but yado al hatachtona, why should he benefit from this type of change? It's memela, you give whatever. And the others will learn that the issue over here is that aliba to Rabbi Yehuda, there is no shinoi kaina in this case. Why? Because we said before that a shinoi that is chozer lebriato, the only reason that we would allow a pergazim to keep it is because of takanat hashavim. But over here, a workman had no intention of doing a gezela, and therefore obviously there's no takanat hashavim that's involved. Therefore, we leave it on its ikr halacha, which is that a shinoi chozer lebriato bichlal is not kaina. In which case, what's there to say noten lo demet samro? Noten lo demet samro would only be because you were kaina through the shinoi. And therefore, we don't deal with the Sheva. We don't deal with anything. B'shalmi kishata gezela. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, it's not because of a knas, but rather because of the fact that there never was a shinui, proper shinui to be king.
But it's okay to use that expression called a shinui with a worker? I mean,
yeah, sure. Because in the end, by changing for what the Balabayat said, you were gozelit. It's just your intent wasn't to be gozelit. Mike, or when you say that it's ugly, I mean, what exactly does that mean? Omrib Nachman, Omrib Bar Chana. Well, it means you made it kalabos. That's a big help. My kalabos. What's that supposed to mean? Omar Rabba Bar Shmuel, it means kafra dudi. It means that you used, kafra is the lashon that we have of kapara, or kipurei zahav, which Rashi always explains that the meaning of kapara is the same as the word for kipurei zahav, which are the cups that are used in the Beit HaMikdash, because the Kohanim would wipe their fingers from the blood on the edge of the cup. So it's kapara, because it cleans you off, right? So it removes something. So kafra duty here would also mean you took the material and you rubbed it against the dye stuff that was left at the bottom of the dud, which means that it was the junk that had settled. It wasn't a high-quality dye, and therefore it didn't give good results. And then we can see that it wasn't because of the tzemer, it was because you didn't use the proper quality of dye. And that's why we're talking about over here the responsibility of the dyer. Others learn, there's a pshat that is brought from the Ga'anim, that kapra is a lotion of tzvat, meaning it's a tongue. So kapra meaning that you use the tongue against the edges of the dud. But it's the same idea. Okay, gentlemen, tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, we have a busy day. Omar Rabba Barbara, Chan Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tabachu Man Shekiokeo Chayav, Afilu Uman Ketibachei Tzipori. Mi Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Ochi. ויאמר רבא ברבחן הוא עבדה וכמיד רבי יוחן מקדיש תלמון ואומר לו זיל הייתי רעיד וממחית לתרנגולים והבטרחה לא קשה כאן בחינם כאן בשכר כי עוד יאמר רבי זירה רוצה שיתחייב לו טבח יקדים לו דינר מתווה המולך חיתים לתוכון ולא לתתן ועשן סובין או מורסן or he brings קמח לנחתום ויעשו פת ניפולין or בהימה לטבח ונבלה חייב מפני שוב כנושא שכר Ema mipnei shehu nosei zachar, meaning you paid him. Ahu magrum tadatei lekami derav tarfe upartu latabach min hashlumi domi. Pogo be revkana revasi bugavra omr le avi begarav tarte na my tarte. He lay metarte legriuta that he hit you with a double whammy. Di boile lach shirik rabbi rebuta and instead he was tarfe karabona. Furthermore, even if he would have held Kirabon and he barred the chiyuv of the tafcha, how could that be? Mishar lememer keagavna. Vatana likishi etzei min adin. Lo yomar ani mezakev chaverai mechayvim. Avo ma'aseh chaverai rovu alay. Al zeh nema olech rachil megalesod. Ela must be tarti lemal yuta. First of all, he was machmon yudolok l'kasafik yisura. Furthermore, mona'acham yisafik yizela. Itzma. Hamar ed dinar l'shulchan even im tzara. Toni chada uman patur hediot chayav. V'tan yedar ben uman ben hediot chayav. Amr papa ki tanya uman patur. Kegon danko v'yisr. Dolo tzrich ala migma klal. So then b'may tohu. Tohu b'sikhta chadata. Da'i shayt enafki mitut e'sikhta. Ayit et adachaz yedinu l'rebchia. Omar lama oyahu. למחר אתה לקמי אומר לי, אחזיתי ואומר לו בישהו ולא כנפיק לי. אומר לי לרב, זיל חלפי ניהלה. וכתוב הפנקסי, dumb decision, די נזק ביש. ומה ישנה דנקו וייסו דפטירים משום דלא צריך על המגמר? רבחי אינה מילב למגמר כבוי, true, but רבחי לפנים משרת הדין הוא דאבן. כדתוני רב יוסף, הדעת עליהם זו בית חייהם. את הדרך זו גמילות חסדים. Yelchu zu bikul cholim ba zu kvura et amase ze adin asher yasu ze lifni mishurat adin. Resh Lakish achver dinar la Rav Elazar. Omer ma'al yehu. I'm like, okay, but you better watch out. Chazidi alach katzamchino. I'm like, well, so ki zamart alay ma'ilo merma. Din mishtakeach bisha biinilach lufilacha. Won't work for you, buddy. Hare atu damed Rabbi Meir who the doyin did in the garmi. I mean, I suppose you're saying my lover Meir v'lo svirlan kavate. Oh, Malay, no, that's the whole point. Because Rabbi Meir was Svirla Kavate. Hi, Rabbi Meir. Ilem Rabbi Meir, the Tana Tana Tadin, Zika, the Hayav, the Yevet, the Zakar, the Meir, the Torah, the Yer, the Tame, Masha, so, Swivy, Shalom, the Beto, O Yitma, Lom, Rabbi Loyam, Rabu, Shinatav, and Atan, Beyat, Elo, Rabbi Meir, the Tana. Lizboa, Lo, Adom, Utsiva, O Shahor, Shahor, Utsiva, Adom, Rabbi Meir, Omer, Lotte, Lot, Beit Samro, Atam Kavi, be a dying. Elo, Rabbi Meir, the Tana, the Messachek, Gavno, Agabet, Vatosha, Haviro. Harezikidesh v'chayav, atomamik of the adai, eloha rabbi meir, the tani mechitzat akerem shenifritza, omer lo gedor, nifritza omer lo gedor, nidyayish men velo gedroa, harezikidesh v'chayav bachrayuto. Anotein semer la tzabavik dicho yore, notein lo dmeit samro, tzavao kaor, im ha-shevach yeter al yitzia, notein lo yitzia, mi yitzia yeter al ha-shevach, notein lo ha-shevach. לצבוע לו אדום וצבעו שחור, שחור וצבעו אדום. רבי מאיר אומר, נותן לו דמי צמרו. רבי יונה אומר, אם השבח יתר על היציאה, נותן לו את היציאה. אם היציאה יתר על השבח, נותן לו את השבח. מי כאור? אומר רב נחמן, אומר רבא בר חנה, כלבוס. מי כלבוס? אומר רבא בר שמואל, it means כפרה דודי.